It's been about a week or so since you folks kind of unveiled at least a, I wouldn't necessarily say a blueprint, but at least a starting plan to solve the funding crisis. What's the reaction been?
Well, we've had a lot of negative reaction about the thing, and I think it stems from two or three different causes. One is that with the economy being down, some people are just shocked that anybody would propose any tax increase, even though it's on a voluntary tax. And then secondly, with some people in the population, there's a residual dislike for, you know, what they call the millionaires, sports guys, and the players and the owners, and so there's a resentment on that front. And then I think one of the things that contributed to the problem was that although we tried to have everybody have skin in the game, none of the groups who were asked to carry the load of a tax have stepped up and said, well, we understand there's a greater civic duty here, that this is our share, and we're willing to do it. So since nobody has conceded that they're willing to do it, everybody's still fighting it from those corners of the people who think they're going to be impacted by that, any of the given taxes.
So does that mean that, at least for now, the tax portion is just off the table because nobody wants to sort of get that skin in the game?
Well, I think the mayor of Indianapolis has taken a hard look and trying to come up with an alternative proposal. And we think that we need to report some kind of a bill out of the Senate, probably have to amend it on second reading come next Monday. But we need to keep something viable, at least for discussion, even if it's very weak and even if it doesn't raise all the money that's needed.
One of the other things, when we talk about taxes, did you folks think about now maybe some alternatives, maybe not necessarily expanding the sports district to all of Indianapolis, because that would just hurt the city, but maybe a few blocks out to capture, you know, some of that revenue that the taxes would have perhaps raised?
Well, we've had discussions about that, but the downside of that is it's pretty hard to get votes in the state legislature to expand an area in Indianapolis that allows them to capture what are basically state revenues, and so it's going to be tough to push that much farther.
Here's another one. How about just Sunday alcohol sales? One of the things that's been out there is that if Indiana, for every day that Indiana doesn't sell alcohol, that's like $1 million lost in tax revenue. So why not just go for a Sunday alcohol sale, election day alcohol sale, Christmas day, or some of the days that alcohol currently isn't sold? Let that be then money collected on those days be used to capture revenue, you know, to pay for downtown or something else.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because our good friends in the alcohol industry, although they opposed a penny tax on a beer, they seem quite ready to do the Sunday sales approach and want us to get some revenues out of that. A more likely prospect might be to give Marion County a local option alcohol tax opportunity based on consumption, which would raise even more than what we had projected under the report we had last week.
So how would something like that work? Would that be just Sunday alcohol sales in Marion County only, or something totally different?
The option would be to give Marion County the opportunity to raise an alcohol tax that would be applied to product that's sold in Marion County. And we probably would use the same format where they could implement a tax of up to a penny on a beer, a penny on a 4-ounce glass of wine, or 2 cents on a shot glass. So giving them that option and then basing it on consumption, probably the amount of consumption in Marion County, not to infer that people drink more in Marion County, but I think people come here more to entertain, so it probably would raise more money than a per capita tax.
Talking to Senator Kinley, a couple more questions. There seems to be also out there, and part of the reason why the public isn't a big fan to get on some of these proposals, is sort of a lack of trust. Lack of trust in the Capital Improvement Board. They think it's an organization sort of operates in secrecy. A lack of trust on the part of the Colts and the Pacers. Hey, are these really numbers that folks are using? How do you address that sort of that just basic trust issue that's necessary for any plan to work, no matter what it is or who brings it up?
I think that's a legitimate comment from the public, and I think one of the elements that we may see come about here is that there may need to be some reforms regarding the CIB's reporting of their financial status. And I've encouraged both the Colts and the Pacers to take their case publicly to tell the public what they have done and what they do and what their situation is.
Have the Colts and Pacers acted in a way that you think is conducive to this process, at least publicly?
Well, I think the Pacers have, clearly, because they're in the process of trying to renegotiate. They've been very open with all their facts and figures and numbers about their operating statements. I think the Colts feel that they just went through this a couple of years ago and they made a deal and that the city should live up to their deal. So you might say they feel hurt by the fact that they made a deal and now they're being asked to redo that deal. But in the interest of for their public and their public reputations, I've encouraged them that they're going to have to go the extra mile here and to help deal with this problem.
Is it time to turn Conseco Fieldhouse over to a private entity to operate? Obviously, the Pacers can't do it because they say they're losing money. The city and CIB don't seem to have the finances to do it. Just turn over to a private management company and do for the Conseco Fieldhouse what you folks did for the toll road a few years ago.
Well, I don't think that's going to be a state decision because that particular facility is owned by the city and run by the city, and that's going to be their decision. But we have had discussions about whether some other alternative method of running the facility might be one that would work better.
Is it time for home rule in Indiana? Just to let every county decide their tax system, their tax structure, maybe just have the state act as sort of as guidelines so that way you folks aren't brought in. Okay, we got to give you power this week to raise an alcohol tax, this week to raise this tax, this week to raise this tax. Just say, you know what, we're getting out of the business altogether. We'll just prescribe a procedure. You folks in all 92 counties, you figure out the taxes you want to raise, and then we'll just let the people hold you accountable. So you can focus on more global issues.
Well, I think that maybe there's a good argument to do that to some extent. I think the other side of the coin is that both the local units and the state units need to work together to have the right kind of picture painted for what your picture is. If you bring a business to Indiana, what kind of taxes you face, how are they going to be changed? And so we have an intertwined relationship. If we give that up entirely, I think you lose some of the strength that occurs when you're required to cooperate with each other.
Final question, do you think all this will get resolved by April 29th?
Planning on it.
All right, Senator Kinley, as always, sir, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Abdul.